Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
I see you.
In the person of Philip French. He is our guest on Single Talk today, and we are talking Single Talk. What's Single Talk? Let me tell you about Single Talk and what it's about. Single Talk is
do you have your phone on speaker?
No, I don't.
Okay. I'm not sure why they're doing it. Anyway, let's try to move on. It's usually just
okay. Do you have your phone on speaker?
Were we trying to call back in, or?
Yeah, maybe you should call back into it.
Okay, I think I'll call back in.
Okay. I am so sorry for all these difficulties we're having today. I'm not sure why it's a difficulty. But anyway, while he's calling back into the broadcast, and we'll see if that's going to work, what I'm going to talk about, what Single Talk is about. So what we're doing is, my endeavor, what the Lord told me to do was, to talk to singles, because, you know, sometimes singles, we talk about the marriage all the time in the church and all that, and that's all wonderful. But we sometimes the singles feel like they have been forgotten. And so we're going to talk to singles because singles have got a whole lot that they're working on, a whole lot of things that they're doing. And so we want to make sure that we highlight our singles as well and that we talk to some successful singles. Let me see if this is working better.
Yeah, I'm on now.
Oh, okay, so everybody's on. So anyway, so we're talking to singles because singles got purpose, singles got things that they're doing, and so we just want to highlight our successful singles and so that we can make sure that singleness is not something that people fear or people are like, oh, why am I single? But we're doing a lot as single people are doing a lot. So today I'm talking to Elder Philip French. He is a musician. And he is a preacher, he's a musician, he's a father, he's a whole bunch of things. So anyway, we just want to talk to him today. And on Sunday, for all of us, all of you that are living in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, he is going to be having, I'll let him tell you more about it, but he's having a jazz dinner and jazz, I think is what it's called, or something like that, and it's going to be, and I'll let tell him something about that, Phil. I won't mess that up.
Okay, yeah, bless you. Thank you for having me on, Elder Bryson. My name is Phil French. Here in Dallas, Texas, I live in Grand Prairie. I've been here 12 years. I'm a Christian jazz saxophonist and elder in the church. And I'm doing my first annual, I do an annual Time of Thanksgiving jazz dinner. It's Christian jazz. We have a nice buffet dinner on set for everyone. And we give you some nice Christian jazz music and a nice family-friendly environment. And we created a menu that's just incredible for everyone to enjoy as a prelude to Thanksgiving. I've done it around the country in other cities, and this is my first time doing it for Thanksgiving season here in Dallas in the DFW. So I'm very excited about it. It's going to be held at the One Love Lounge in Arlington, Texas, right off of Cooper, right on Cooper Street, right there. The One Love Lounge in Arlington, Texas, at 3:00 on Sunday, the 24th, this coming Sunday. We're so excited.
So excited about it. And I'm just going to let you, hear this this song. Now, this is his music. Let's see if I can get it on. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I hear it. It sounds good.
Okay, this is Phil French playing, and so I'm just trying to get his music on here as it is. He's got, you're on here, and what CD are you on? Is this your 11th CD that you are currently working on?
Yeah, I'm currently working on number 10, so what you listen to right there is number 9.
Okay.
Yes. That's entitled "I'm Just a Church Boy." The song "Thank You, Lord, for All You've Done for Me" by the Hawkins family.
Okay, I'm gonna turn it around so they can see on Facebook what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's a link for me playing in North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, there at the New Nations, the Nations Ford Church there in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay. I wanted to highlight him because he's having this wonderful event on Sunday the 24th. It is $40, and you know that ain't no money for dinner and entertainment. So, you know, that's not that. So come on out and support him, Dallas, Texas, Fort Worth, Texas, Arlington, Texas, and all of those in between. We ask you to come out to DeSoto, Texas, you know, Cedar Hill, Grand Prairie. Come on out and support him over there at the One Love Lounge. That's where we'll be.
Up there at Frisco,
Plano, McKinney.
Yeah, all of y'all. Frisco, Plano, McKinney. Y'all come out and support. It's going to be awesome. So here he is playing. And go out there and support his music. He's a D.C. original. He's from Washington, D.C. originally, now resides here in Grand Prairie, Texas. But go out and support him. Invite him to your church. He comes to churches. He goes. Now, Indianapolis, y'all on the line. He ain't never been to Indianapolis. He done been all over this country and the world. He done been all over in Africa and all over in those places. Invite him out. He's an awesome musician. Good and saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and that with a burning fire. How about that?
Fire baptized.
Yes.
How we used to say it, Denise, we're running for Jesus a long time, and we ain't tired yet.
I'm not tired yet. For a long time. So we are running for Jesus a long time. Support him in his music. He's on his, this is, he's working on his 10th CD as right now and finishing up. And I've heard some of the music. It's going to be awesome, I'm telling you. And he's got another new CD that he just put out called Church Voice. And so y'all might want to get that. And then he has a Christmas CD as well. Okay, I'm going to turn back because I think I'm talking. I don't know if they can hear me or not. He has a Christmas CD as well. He has a Christmas CD as well. And also, and so you might want to get that. So as the holidays are unfolding and you have a little something at your house, you can put that good music on and let it play in the background while you're doing all the things that pertain to the holiday season. So we are just, I'm just admonishing you to go out there and look him up. He's on iTunes, Philip French. Phil French is what his name is, P-H-I-L-F-R-E-N-C-H. So Phil French. So go out there and look him up. He's on iTunes, and you can look his CDs up and purchase those as well. And if you want to purchase them tonight, just let us know, and he'll get them out to you. He will deliver. How about that?
Well, praise the Lord. I don't need to say nothing else. You done said it all.
Well, I'm going to keep saying, going to keep on pushing the issue. Nevertheless, let us go on and talk about single talk. So one of the things we're going to talk about with you, I got three segments. So we're going to talk about, first we're going to start out talking about Phil French, the musician. So tell everybody a little bit about yourself and what started you in music and how you began and what were some of your inspirations for music and just tell them what you enjoy about creating music.
Well, I'm a saxophonist, as you said before. I started playing the saxophone at the age of 11. I have an early birthday, so a late birthday for the school year, so I had to wait another year. I couldn't start like everybody else. So I had to wait a whole year, and my mama, she believed in me so much, she took a part-time job in order to rent me a saxophone so I could play saxophone. I was in the fifth grade, and she took that job, and she told me I wanted that job. I better keep that saxophone, keep playing. I had to get straight A's, and the Lord has blessed me to even get all A's in all my classes. Except one year in high school, I got a B. But other than that, I got all year long, I got all A's in all my classes for saxophone. I'm classically trained. I play gospel. I play jazz. I play everything, but I believe it's okay to keep it jazzy for Jesus. That's my hashtag. I keep it jazzy for Jesus. And that's what I do.
Right.
I play at churches. I play conferences. I do concerts, jazz concerts. I do it all, you know. And I believe it's okay to keep, you know, to play jazz because, as the Bible says, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. It all begins and has begun with the Lord. God created music. He created instruments. He created us to the materials even to make the instruments come from God. So I just like giving God the glory and saying that the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. There's nothing that happens in this earth that doesn't belong to the Lord.
All right, that's the truth. Everything belongs to the Lord. So what else? What else? Now you used to play for a band as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
I was blessed to be able to be the musical director for Yolanda Adams for 6 years. I played for Ben Tankard for that time. Also, I was his band director for about 5 years, and I also played with Gene Karn, the R&B singer. I was a member of her band and directed her for a while. But, you know, in the year 2000, and actually 1997 and 1998, the Lord put in my heart to play the ministry and do the ministry that he's given me to do. And after that, you know, I started doing everything for Phil French. It's giving God the glory in the way that he had ordained me to do it, not just playing on somebody else's ministry in a support role, but as a lead artist. So the Lord has blessed me in that capacity. Year 2000 was my first CD release, and we've been going ever since. After this year, with every other year, we've been blessed to be able to release a CD, and we're so grateful for that.
Amen. That's a blessing. Now then, what else? Let me see. Now, what is your what is out of all your songs? I know you have a My Favorites album, so y'all, that's another. He has a CD called My Favorites, so it's got all of his favorite CDs and all of those things on there. And so yeah, that might be something you wanna invest into. Yeah, I'm gonna be a salesman today. I'm selling his stuff. I'm gonna be a salesman. And so, what is one of your favorite songs? I know you have that favorite CD. So, what is one of your favorite songs? So I'm gonna put another song so I can get it maybe kind of playing in the background while we're talking.
Okay. Well, my most popular song today that I've written is a song entitled "Lord, You've Been So Good." It's called "Been So Good," and the topic the topic of that song is, you know, God has brought us from a mighty long way. No matter where we are, God has been good to us. No matter what we're going through, no matter what our trial and testimony is, we understand that God is still good, that it could be worse. It could have been worse. It could have been the other way. And we thank God that we've always made it out. We've always come out victorious, no matter how hard the trial, no matter how hard or severe the test, no matter how intense the fight that we're in, it becomes, we always end up giving God the glory. And we're so gracious for that.
Well, I'm trying to play this music in the background. I hope y'all can hear it on Facebook Live. This, I am talking to Elder Phil French. He is also a musician, a jazz saxophone player. He is a blessing. I've been to see him many times, and so we're on here talking to him because I'm highlighting singles. If you are single and you doing something, I'm going to be about it, because I think we need to hear something about our single people, because sometimes, you know, we get lost in the church when it comes to that, and I don't know why, but to me, that just seems like what it is about marriage is very important, and we need them to stay married and all of that, and we want to pray for them all the time, because marriage is hard. I'm telling you, it can be very difficult, but we also, the singles are important too. So I want to make sure that we highlight some of our singles that are doing great things. We're not all sitting around waiting on a husband or a wife and all those kinds of things. We got stuff to do, and so we've been doing just that. And so, Phil, what I wanted to ask you, if I got a couple of questions, I want to ask you about your music and all of that. But you told us that you're working on, you got one that you're working on right now. And so tell us a little bit about your new project.
Okay, the new project, I believe this is going to be my best body of work yet. It's taken a long time. I've been working on this thing for a long time. And we have some songs that I believe will make mainstream radio. I believe that it will be taking the cross over to the other side. And I believe that God will get a great testimony out of the smooth jazz sound that has been created, and that we'll be able to get good radio play, and folks will buy and purchase it based on their enjoyment, not even the words that are in some of the songs, but just by the sound, because I believe the sound is so blessed and so anointed. And so we're working on it. We're probably 85% finished, and we plan on having it finished and out, on February 1, we should have it out and finished. So we're so gracious to that.
Amen. Thank the Lord. He got some good stuff coming on there. And like I was telling people earlier, he has a wonderful Christmas CD. And I'm telling you, if you want to get that for the holiday season, you can go out. We'll take orders right here on the phone. We will take orders right here on the phone today. And so right here on Facebook Live, we can take some orders if you want them. But type it in. I want one. I'm telling you, they're awesome. And you want to have that music playing in the background while you are doing your Christmas, all your Thanksgiving and Christmas stuff. So you want to get that and have that out there. Now, what else? Let me see. What is the most, out of all your talents, Phil, what do you think that, I don't want to ask that question, but what famous musician do you admire the most? What famous musician do you admire the most? I know you said you played for Yolanda, Yolanda Adams' music director. You played with Ben Tanker, and y'all got a good friendship. And then you also played with Gene Karn, and that's on the secular side. But what is your favorite musician out of everybody? What is one of the people that you would say is your favorite?
Well, my favorite musician was the saxophonist of late Grover Washington. He died, I believe, in 2005. Not even 2005, but yeah, he showed up at one of my shows as I was playing with Gene Kahn one night. He actually came to the concert that I was playing with her, and came on stage and sat in with me, and he told me that you know, that I was one of the people that sounded like him, and he was just amazed by it. So, you know, they were so nice to me, him and his wife and his children, and as a matter of fact, we still stay in touch till this day, me and his son. So he was my most influential. I would listen to all the CDs and everything. They invited the band to the house and all that kind of stuff. You know, him and then Stanley Turrentine are two of my most you know, influences from a jazz perspective. But from a gospel perspective, being a son of a pastor, when I was growing up in school, we couldn't have a lot of that R&B music in our house because my daddy was an elder, an assistant pastor of the church, and we had to clean the church. You know, we had to open the church, close the church, cut the grass, and all that kind of stuff as a kid. So we were the church, literally. And so we couldn't have that kind of music in our house. So Vernard Johnson, he was the first Christian saxophone player that I heard, played gospel music. And but he was the only person I could listen to back in the day, was Vernard Johnson. So he did have a great influence in my life musically.
That is awesome. So now let's kind of switch the gears. Where's my time? I want to make sure I'm keeping my time. So now let's kind of switch the gears, and we'll come back to your music for the end again. Now, what about being a single father raising his son and going, you bringing him from being a young boy to being a grown man. So give us something about that. And you're a divorced father, so let's say that. So you were married and now you're divorced. So let's talk about that. We're going to talk about that and you raising your son as a single father and some of the sacrifices that you got to make, you know, and all those kind of things. What would you say to, you know, let's talk about that for a while and let's talk about that and then we'll get back to some other things.
Well, as a single father, it's just like being a single mother. It's kind of hard, you know, it's very hard. And I have so much respect for women, you know, single women who raise their kids, you know, but I have a ultimate level of respect for them because, you know, it's hard. You know, you get your child support, but it goes so much beyond child support. I mean, I don't care how much you get, it's still never enough because as you're there, you're the one going to the doctor, you're the one going to the hospital, you're the one doing homework. You're the one there for all the activities. You're the one for socially. You're the one there emotionally. You're the one there spiritually. You're the one there physically. Your whole life is given up and forsaken for the sake of your child. Given up for the sake of your child. And so the problem is that a lot of folks don't want to do that. They don't accept that role, and that's the problem in America. But for me, you know, I had to put music ministry on a hold for a while. You know what I mean? I had to get a job so I could make sure I was home every day so my son could get his homework done. Because he needed a daddy figure around, you know. And, you know, the father, was, you know, a lot of men don't understand this, that the identity of our children and the blessing of the children biblically all came from the father, whether it's man or female. That identity of that child is given to them from their dad. You know, and if they don't have a daddy in their life, a boy would be disrespectful. They have anger issues. If a woman doesn't have a father in her life, then they become promiscuous because they're seeking that validation of their beauty and their inner beauty and the outer beauty. So every identity characteristic that we have problems with and situation with in our children comes from the lack of fatherhood. So I wanted to make sure that my son didn't have that. I had a daddy growing up. My daddy worked all the time, you know what I mean? But my daddy was a good father. And I wanted to make sure I was there for my son all the time. The Lord, you know, I was there, but the Lord blessed me to have custody of my son. And then, you know, not upon having custody of my son, my ecosystem of my church members and my family, I have a cousin here, you know, that family and just the other church friends who really supported me, I mean, I had no problem in raising my son because I was trying to do it to the glory of the Lord. I wasn't trying to be vindictive to anybody. All I wanted to do was raise my son that he could be a better man than me.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, he's in college now. He's a junior in college down at Florida A&M. And Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, one more year, year and a half, he'll be a graduate of Florida A&M.
Amen.
And that's already light years beyond where I have it. I'm not a college graduate. But I did see the need of, you know, I wanted to be in my son's life every day. You know, when I went through my divorce, I even told the judge, I said, "Judge, you know, I'm not bad-mouthing my wife or ex-wife, you know, going through the divorce process. I just want to be a father in my son's life every day. I don't want my son to wake up and say, I need to talk to my dad, and he can't come in the room and talk to me." Because the son needs that validation. He needs to be able to communicate. He needs affirmation. Children need their dad in their life. And that was one of my focuses, is to make sure I was in my children's life every day. Not have access to them once a weekend, every other week. No, every day. I want my son to be able to wake up and say, "Dad, can I come see you? I need to be there. No, I need to talk to you. I need to touch you. I need to hug you." And I also want to make sure I tell my son every time we talk, even today. I mean, every time I say, I love you, multiple times a day. So many of our black men don't tell their children they love them. They'll tell their daughters that they love them. They won't tell the men that they love them. You know, men, women and their men, they need that love. You know what I mean? They need to be told that. And that's what I make sure I tell my children every day. I love you, yeah? You know, this is from a father's perspective, not just a mom, but a father's perspective. We as men, we have to pass that love on, because the generations are suffering because they're not affirmed. They don't have the love of the father.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's so necessary, is to pass on the love of the father to the next generation, so that that generation will not lack. There won't be an affirmation deficit among our youth, among the next generation. We will be empowering another generation to take our legacy to another dimension, another level. And that's what's so necessary. Without affirmation, they're like wandering in the wilderness.
Exactly. Because I know for me, you know, my mom was around, but my dad died. My dad died when I was early. He died, and so I was, you know, just me and my mother and my brother. And so, you know, you have all that to be dealing with. And so I can understand that. And I do think that, like you said, you need your father to affirm you. I'm not sure what's going on with the light. I'm having difficulty with that. You need that affirmation from your father. You really do, especially girls. Because sometimes I think when girls don't get that, then the first thing some young man says to them, they get excited about it. But when you know, when you have that coming from your dad, you know, that you're pretty and all of those kind of things, and some of that stuff, some boys say don't matter, because you're like, I already know that. I don't need you to tell me that. That's kind of how I was.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So you don't need those type of affirmations that they usually would get, you know, that they come up with, or they try to say, oh, you're pretty, oh, you're so pretty. And then, you know, all the while what they're trying to do is have another encounter with you and not, you know, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. And so let me see, back to my questions, so that's my question. Make sure I get them all in here. So then what else would you say? I saw something that says five ways to raise a man, and one of the things was you got to trust yourself and trust him. What do you think about that, statement?
Trust yourself and trust, say it one more time, trust, I didn't hear what you said.
Trust yourself and trust him. Trust yourself in raising him, and then you also have to trust him as well.
Oh, and yeah, definitely. You got to trust him. Any relationship is built. My thing with my sons is that both of my children is that I give them enough room to hang themselves. You know, you gotta see where they are. You gotta trust them. You gotta counsel them. You gotta nurture them. And the honor system, you have to have an honor system with them, because if you don't trust them, they don't trust them. And But the more important thing is that they have to see you doing right. They have to see you practice what you preach. I can't tell my son, don't go out here and be the whore, and I'm bringing home a different woman every night.
Okay.
I can't tell my son, you got to work hard, and I'm sleeping through 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon every day.
Right.
I can't tell my son to be clean and then my house is filthy. You know what I mean?
Right.
I can't tell him. I say, hey, man, you got to wash your clothes and get your clothes cleaned up, man, and be prepared for this. You know, you got to save your money. I can't tell him to save money if I'm going out to eat every day and not cooking at home, preparing food at home and saving my money.
Right.
You know, I can't tell him you can't. Don't worry about the flesh, these carnal things, and you can't have everything as far as all these shoes. You don't need all them shoes and all this. I got a closet full of shoes, and I don't have a bank account.
Okay, yeah, you can't do that.
It just doesn't make sense, you know. You got all these shoes, I don't have a car. Well, what's the use of having all these clothes and even when you have a car, dog? You know, that doesn't make sense.
Right. Can't even get from point A to point B. Can't even go to work. So there, you know, you can't get public transportation every place in the metroplex.
Exactly. Well, that's just a whole period. You know, you want to date somebody. How are you gonna date somebody? You don't even have a car. How y'all gonna get around?
Exactly. Well, I don't have a car.
You wanna go to the movies? Say, how you gonna get there? How you gonna get to the movies?
You gotta
get your priorities straight. You know, you gotta get your priorities straight, and you know, but you trust him and say, okay, you want to get a job? So how are your grades look? Can you handle work and going to school at the same time? Because ultimately, your school is the most important.
Mhm.
Yeah. You know, like this summer, my son, I said, hey man, the part-time job you've been working really don't make sense for you right now at this point because. You're a year from graduating. I said, let's make your senior year more easy. You know, let's make your senior year less stressful. We're going to go to summer school this year. So your senior year, you can just cruise through. You're not going to have all that pressure on you. Just summer, I said, man, he said, what about my money? I said, you don't need the money because, you know, we're giving you money anyway. Let's just get you through this. Wisdom said, let's just get you through it. Let's not deal with all the stress of adding these extra classes for your senior year. You can take a regular class load, go to school like normal, and graduate. So you can do all the extracurricular things you need to do for your senior year. And that's the trust. He has to trust me for my advice, and I got to trust that he's going to obey me.
Exactly.
And listen to that sound advice.
What are some of the mistakes you think you can avoid when raising a son? What are some of the mistakes that you may have made that you can give to some, you can tell somebody else to try to avoid when raising a child?
Well, the Bible says that we should train up a child in the way he should go, and when he get old, he won't depart. You know, so everybody said you make your child go to church. I made my child go to church at a certain age. Once my child became grown, 18, I didn't make my child. I wasn't adamant, you know, my child got saved, you know, got filled with the Spirit of God and making decisions on his own, you know. So spiritually, he was mature, grown. His salvation was, you know, his salvation and walking, that's between him and God now. Once he accepted Christ for himself and walking and praying the Holy Spirit, worshiping and singing. You know, my thing is I never wanted to beat my child up, but I did wish we could have done more things together. As a child, I could have directed him more into his destiny as far as teaching him more of the word, even though he knows the word. But churches now are different from when we grew up, you know, as far as Bible study. You know, we had real Bible study, so I was rooted in the word, I think, more than he was, you know, and I think I should have done a little more at the house, you know, more teaching. I did teach him at the house, but I wish I had done more at the house, you know, as far as teaching and empowering him with the word. So have more of that versus just what he got from church and the little amount that I did teach at home.
Well, the one thing I do know about Christopher, he was involved in church. He was very involved in church on the praise team, the youth praise team, and things like that. So
He still is. Yeah, definitely. But, you know, there's just a difference from the times that are different now. Church is totally different now than when we grew up in church. You know, I mean, church now, they don't really have, I mean, they have Bible study. They have a teaching corporate, but it's not like when we had Bible study growing up.
Right, right. Because we had Sunday school, too, and a lot of churches don't even do Sunday school no more. We got those that
exactly.
Don't learned a lot in Sunday school about the Word of God and things like that. And, you know, we got to use
exactly.
Pictures on them, you know what I'm saying? We was really young, but we had a lot of that. And then, too, in the church, you know, we got launched into a lot of things. I remember being a candy striper. I was a nurse. I was a superintendent of the Sunday school. You know what I'm saying? I was a usher. You know what I'm saying? I preached my first sermon at 10. And so, you know, we got to do a lot of things. We got to do a lot of things in the church when we were growing up that they may not get that kind of detailed experience like we did back then. You know, and stuff like that.
Yeah. I remember this.
Yeah, go ahead.
I remember as a child, me and my brother, he's a couple years younger than me, but we used to be in charge of the Brothers' Night service. You know, once a month the brothers were in charge of the service on Sunday evenings. And we used to moderate the service, you know what I mean? And that's how we got affiliated with church. You know, we grew up, you know, but like I said, church is a little different now, but we moderated the service. We introduced the speaker, we read the scripture, led songs, and all that kind of stuff, you know. So that's how we grew up in church, you know. It was just a total different experience. And I just wish that's one thing I wish he had was what was a taste of what we had growing up. So other than that, I love the way I raised him because I gave my sons, I gave them both room to learn because sometimes, as a parent, you don't give your children room to read and to learn. So he's learned. He learns by his mistake. Every mistake he's made, he's learned from. He said, okay, I can't do this. Oh, I can do this. You know, he learns. It's just not a program experience. So when he graduates college, I believe my son, outside of not having employment, but if he has employment, I believe he'll be able to take care of himself.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately, as a parent, that's what you want to do. You know, you want to get your kids educated enough and developed enough so that they can, on the day that they move out of your house, that they can say, okay, I can take care of myself.
Yeah. And they've learned how to navigate life and be able to survive and be able to the obstacles and not so devastated by them, but know that God is in control and that they can keep moving forward and keep moving forward because they've seen their parents do it. And so that's a good thing. Yeah. They've seen you be able to survive. Go ahead.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, my son, one thing I can say about my son, you know, everything that I tell him that, you know, how to trust God, why should God do this? He's seen Daddy. He knows how to live by faith because he's seen Daddy walk by faith.
Mm-hmm.
He said he knows how to trust Daddy for provision, for food. Yeah. He knows how to trust Daddy. He knows how to trust God for food. He knows how to trust God for mortgage money, rent money, car notes. He knows how to trust God because he's seen the same God that I tell him about. He's seen that same Lord make a way for his daddy.
Mm-hmm.
So and I think it's awesome that he can see us walk by faith and not by sight. I say, Christopher, your daddy walks by faith and not by sight. I asked God to give me the gift of faith. I had no idea it was going to come this way.
You didn't know. Somewhere, I'm telling you.
I believe God. You know, growing up as a young man in the Lord, and grew up and said, I believe God. But I always had a great job with great benefits and all this kind of stuff, and I wanted for nothing. But when you got your test and you end up going through and you got to trust God, man, I trust the Lord. I trust him. I said, God, you said, the word says that I've never seen the righteous forsaken. No, nor his seed beg for bread. I said, God, I am your righteous, and I am your seed. And I am your seed through the covenant of Abraham. You know, and I said, you know, I am your seed. And God always proves himself by his word. And he's a God that cannot lie. And if your son, your child sees you living by that same principle, guess what? it's gonna be all right. They're gonna understand that. They're gonna keep it going.
Keep it going. Because I know, because even like with me, and you know some of the stuff I go through, because I call Phil and be over running my mouth, y'all. I know he be like, ooh, I call me sometimes because I come in talking. I don't even see saying hello. I just come in talking. But anyway, but he has been a blessing to me in some wise ways and told me, you know, you just got to hold on. God's going to work it out. You know what I'm saying? He would tell me, he would just encourage me a lot of times, and I was just so basic encouragement, but some deep encouragement, and even telling me how to, this is what you need to do, because the reason why you're not getting undone is because you need to focus, you need to plan, you need to write everything down and then check your, you know, not that I don't know how to do that, but I wasn't doing it, and that's the truth. I was keep trying to keep everything in my mind, and a lot of times I forget, you know, I don't get stuff accomplished, then I'd be upset about that, so he's been a blessing to me as well. So it's just wonderful to have some wise counsel. You know, now what about the soft stuff? The soft stuff, or do you do everything for your son, or do you allow him, you know, to get to work and to do things and try to make his own way, even under your watch?
What about the what stuff? Soft, you mean soft stuff?
Well, I don't know. You know how we have those conversations you need to have with him, but you really don't want to talk to him about it. So that's what I'm talking about.
About sex, you mean?
Yeah, them kind of difficult conversations, yeah.
Sex, oh, man, listen, that ain't difficult. It's real. It's life. I think the church has given sex a bad name. Sex is great, you know, but it should be happening within the realm of marriage. So, you know, I told him, I said, hey, man, you know, save yourself for your wife. Don't get out here having sex because it ain't going to do nothing but complicate your marriage.
Yeah.
I said, you have covenant with more. I mean, you got a covenant with whoever you had sex with, and you're trying to say, I'm going to settle down and have a covenant with your wife. You're going to be there in body with one person, but your soul going to be tied to multiple people. So I said, man, save yourself to be with the Lord. Save yourself to be with who God has blessed you with, and you'll have a great marriage. You know, you'll have a great marriage. I said, don't get out here. Don't even worry about that kind of stuff right now. Don't even get caught up in it, because once you get caught up in it, it'll throw you off. You won't get anything done that you plan on doing. It's going to mess up all your dreams. You're going to mess up everything. You get out of focus. You won't get anything done that you're made in and God has created you to do.
Right.
Go
ahead.
I tell them the same thing about drugs. I say, man, why are you going to go out here and deteriorate your brain? You know what I mean? I mean, and they know. I mean, he's listening. You know, he's listening. So I mean, it's good. I'm blessed to have obedient children. You know, they basically listen to me most of the time, and then when they don't listen, they find out and they say, Dad, you know what? I know you said this, but I did it anyway. And I found it. But it really don't make no sense. It's stupid. I said, you did that. He said, yeah, but I ain't doing it no more.
That's what I
said. You're right.
Yeah. I tell you, I go to the transformation hospital where drug addicts, they have addictive behavior. And as I was telling the story about me smoking weed, you know, I was telling this about my weed smoking story. And they told me, don't tell that to nobody else. Don't tell it to nobody else. If you're going to tell a story, tell one where you really went through something. Because my weed smoking story, it ain't nothing. It's hilarious. It's not something like that. But anyway, so let's gears a little bit. Let's talk about single. So as a single, we have complete. Do you feel like as a single person, I feel like I have complete dependence upon God. And I know married people have complete dependence upon God too. But as a single person, it's just you. It's just you and it's God. And you might have children, so it might be you, your children, and God. But it is you and God. Do you feel that way, or do you feel like? What do you feel like?
Well, it's not a matter of feeling like it's me and God. It is me and God. I mean, it's your feelings. It's not a feeling. It's a reality. Unless you're in a relationship and preparing for marriage, it is nobody but you and God.
Yes.
And you have to have a relationship with God in order to have that companionship to even hold you and to keep you focused. Because if you don't, you'll get caught up in your emotions and your feelings, and next thing you know, oh man, I gotta find me somebody, man. I got to be booed up, man. I'm tired of being by myself. I mean, next thing you know, you be in a relationship with somebody totally wrong.
Wrong.
Totally not for you, out of the lust of your flesh.
Yeah.
Out of lust, you know. And lust, you know, when you start dealing with lust has no focus. You know, lust is strictly about the feeling. About the feeling. It's not about the issue. You know, it's about your feeling. Lust is driven by your feelings. Lust doesn't calculate the facts. It's all feelings.
It's all feelings. And love don't have nothing to do with it. And so many times we hear, now, and I don't know what the men are hearing, but from the woman's perspective, we hear men say, I want to make love to you. That's what they say. Damn, love don't have nothing to do with that. I mean, don't have nothing to do with it. And so, but they say that, and that's not what that means. That's just not what that means. And so we have to be careful about those types of relationships because they come dime a dozen and more. Like I told you, like, well, you can get somebody to hook up with. That ain't hard to do, but getting somebody committed is a whole nother story. So let's talk about celibacy since we're here. Let's talk about that because that is a question on my list about being celibate. Because this is a sex saturated world we living in. It's sex saturated, and so how do you remain celibate? Because and then you're a musician too and a preacher, and so you know women are just drawn to that anyway. We just got to tell the truth about it. And so how do you deal with that? Because I know it's not like they not hitting at you. What? How do you deal with it?
Don't nobody want no preacher and no saxophonist. No, I'm joking.
No, you don't. Come on here.
Well. It's the fact of the matter is, it's like if you think about Jesus, how he was tempted on the mountain. You know, the devil took him up to the high place, and he was tempted in all kind of ways. And when you're trying to keep yourself for the Lord. And for the work of the ministry, until your marriage time comes about, you know that's all it is. And we have to realize that it's a temptation. It's not the real thing. It's not real. It's real, but it's not real. It's built off real emotions, but it's not a matter of your destiny. And until we understand our destiny and what we're made to do and what we're created to do, it's like you don't want to do anything. Like for me, I mean, I don't know about the rest of the people out there, but for me, I grew up an old school holiness Pentecostal, seven-day Pentecostal church. I mean, so if we had sin in our lives, the mothers would see, the Holy Ghost said your life, sit on down. Come on, sit on down and get on this altar. You know, that type of thing. And then number two, I really want to make sure that it doesn't damage my testimony that God can really speak through me from a. It hurts your ministry because you may think you're getting away with something, but the fact of the matter is, you know, you can't preach right, you can't even think right when you're doing this. Yeah, you may be gifted with words, but the glory of the anointing ain't gonna flow right. And you may be gifted as a musician, but and they may get excited because of your gift, but the breakthrough and it's not gonna come to pass where people will come and support the work of the ministry and give out of their heart, out of being moved by the Spirit of God. And the thing about it is, you can have all the gifts you want. If God doesn't move upon people's heart, it takes God to move upon people's heart to support the work of the ministry, not your talent. So
exactly.
God doesn't move. If your ministry gift doesn't move the Lord to move upon their hearts, you're sitting ducks anyway. And I don't ever want to get to the point where my ministry is of no effect and God doesn't move upon people's heart to support the work of the ministry according to biblical principle. I want my testimony to be pure. I want my ministry to say, wow, that was powerful for us. You know what I mean? You really blessed this house today.
Right. And if, you know, because what the Bible tells us that our bodies is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And it also, it talks about fornication and how we are to flee fornication, all these kind of things. And but I know, like I said, in such a sex-saturated world, sometimes that's difficult for people because they got people coming at them all the time, especially our young people. I was last year I was substituting, and the young people was in the classroom, and they were talking about, well, what's your body count? Well, what's your body count? And you know, when you talk about body count, I said, was this something? Was it a shooting or somebody done died? What the hell happened? I didn't know what they were talking about. And so, of course, you know, they're going to let me know. They said, Ms. Bryson, that's how many people you done slept with. And you know what I told them? I said, sit down, I'm going to tell y'all something. I gave them a story. I always got a story for them. They would sit down and listen to them, too. I said, first of all, y'all need to understand that person that you're sleeping with, is that really somebody that you want to be bothered with the rest of your life in case somebody gets pregnant? And is that young lady, the young man, is she somebody you really want to be bothered with the rest of your life? I said, you better start thinking these things through. And so you be done got something you can't uncurable. They, you know, it's off the chain. I'm telling you, it's off the chain. They done some stuff I ain't never done in my life. So I'm telling you, it's off the chain. So we got a lot to be considered. What time is it? Also, we get close to my wrap up time. I have been talking to for those that are just coming in on Facebook. This is Elder Philip French, and we call him Phil French. He is a saxophone player, and he's having a dinner and jazz on Sunday the 24th over in the Arlington area at the One Love Lounge on Cooper in Arlington, Texas. But for all of you that are not here in the Texas area, you can invite him to your church. Yeah, I'm selling for him today. He ain't going to do it, but I'm going to do it. And so you can invite him. He is a blessing from the Lord. And we're going to give you his contact information and all that stuff in a minute. But he will come down there and be a blessing to your ministry and blessing to your church. And then he's currently doing his 10th music project. And so that means he got 9 others out there for you to go and listen to. I'm going to put some of them, try to play it in the background. This is from his album, Everlasting. And I'm just going to play What a Friend. I'm going to play that one. Let me see here. And so we're playing that music in the background, but he's got an awesome Christmas CD, too. If you want to get that and play that during your holiday time with your family, put that on in the background, have a little music playing. You get able to get there, but we'll give you his contact information. We're going to ask him to give us all of those things here in just a minute. But we are just highlighting singles. So I was talking to him because I know he was a preacher, a musician. He's a single father, and he had all of that. So I wanted to get that insight from him and how all that works. Singles are doing things. We got stuff we're doing. We just ain't sitting around waiting on a husband, sitting around waiting on a wife. Even though the Lord bless, I've prayed the prayer. And so when the Lord sent him, he sent him. But until then, I'm going to occupy until he comes, and I'm going to keep doing what the Lord done told me to do is what I'm going to do. And that's what we're on here to do, encourage singles to continue to go after their destiny and their purpose that God has given them, use those talents. Now, Phil, I'm going to ask you this one question, and then we're going to try to wrap things up. How do you keep the gift stirred within you? How do you do that?
How do I keep the gift stirred up in, on the inside of me?
Yes.
Wow, that's a good question. First of all, you got to be obedient to the word. You got to, the boss of all, tell them to stir up the gift that's on the inside of you. But the way I keep it going because you got to have work ethic. You know, if you don't do it for yourself, nobody will. You can spend your whole life waiting on somebody to help you. And if you don't help yourself, you're not going to do it. Bishop Jake said something that was so profound one day. We were in church, and he said, you know, I'm tired of people come to me always wanting something. He said, I don't mind helping people, but I'm just, everybody want me to help them. When's somebody going to help me get better?
Okay.
And so it just hit me. It's like, wow, man. He said, why not? Why can't we just bring our stuff together and come up with something? It's always, I'm helping you, and you ain't doing nothing to help me.
Exactly.
And that's not the way it should be. It should be something where we all come together and try to help each other, that we can have all things in common according to the book of Acts. when everybody had all things in common, they gave and had all things together. I can put my talent together with your talent, and then both of our talents together, we can have something.
Exactly.
And as far as stirring up the gift on the inside, and one of my biggest phobias, Denise, is this. I don't want to shut my eyes when the Lord calls me home. I don't want to close my eyes and not fulfilling and doing what the Lord has made me to be and to make me to do.
And that's
when
what
Phil
I don't
French
want.
Closes, when Phil French closes his eyes, when Phil French dies, I want the
you
Lord
want
to say, well done, that good and faithful servant. I want to be found doing exactly what the Lord has for me to do.
That's me too, Phil. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I have people that say to me, they say, Denise, you need to just glory, just kind of be thankful for what God has already blessed you to do. I said, girl, I can't stay there. I got too much going on. Those that really know me, they know I be getting ideals just keep coming. They just keep coming and keep coming till I drive people crazy because I be over here talking about it so much. But anyway, so I told myself I'm going to do what the Lord done called me to do. Now, if you know what, if you want to sit there and don't do what the Lord told you to do, that's on you. But when I leave here, I want to have done what God has purposed for me to do. So if that is to do whatever, that just like he told me to do this. The Lord actually told me to do single talk. I want to say it was in 2015. I was on a cruise, and I was up there praying because, you know, I pray early. I'm an early prayer. So I got up and prayed. I went up there on the top deck so I could be up there when the sun was coming up. So I felt like, you know, I was really going to be up there with the Lord. You know how we get. And so I went up there and prayed, and I had a notebook. I had my Bible in my notebook. And I went up there, and I wrote all this single talk stuff down. It just kept coming to me, and I wrote it. I wrote pages of stuff. And so I said, Lord, I got to do it. But then, you know, we get fearful, and then or we let people say something to us, and it discourages us. I'm going to tell everybody out there, don't let nobody discourage you from what God has told you to do. If God told you to do it the best you can. Don't despise the days of small beginnings. Now, today, I really wanted Phil, you to be able to see him, but we didn't get that straight. So anyway, but we went on anyway. We could have said, well, I just ain't going to do it. No, because I've been up for a couple of months, haven't I? And then I said, well, I'm away. And the Lord told me, don't you want to say that not another time. And so that's why we on here today. And I'll probably have him back on here again when we get it really up and, you know, going. But we're not going to despise the days of small beginnings. But I have been talking to Phil French. Now, Phil, tell us what your next project is, what's coming up next for you, and where we can find you on social media.
Well, okay, right now you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And my website is www.philfrench, that's www.philfrench.net. That's Phil French, www.philfrench.net. And also on social media, that's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'm available there. I'm on there all the time. Everything's linked together. You can find all of my music on my website. So you go to the website and you can find music and you can order it from the website. And you can have stuff shipped to you within the week at the latest, depending on where you are in the country. But we have, you know, you get signed copies, you get all kinds of stuff. We got T-shirts available, have the Jazzy Bear available, and a Phil French Music Ministries available. So, We love to bless your house. We love to be a blessing to you. So give us a call. You know, come see us. Come reach out to us.
Thank you. I just want to thank you so much for being on the broadcast today. This has been Single Talk, and I've been talking to Phil French. He's single, and I'm going to keep saying, now go out there and support his music. He said it's out there on philfrench.net. Is that what you said?
Philfrench.net. That's correct.
And then, of course, he's on iTunes. You can buy his music on there. But go out there and support him and get you some CDs so that you can have playing in your car, playing in your house, and those kind of things, and be able to play it, download, play it on your phone. You know how you do, how we do. So get his music. He is a musician. He's saved. He's sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and that with a burning fire. Honey, running for Jesus a long time and ain't got tired yet. All of those things.
Come on, somebody.
Okay, come on here. And so anyway, I just want you to be blessed, and I want you to bless him. And for, like, again, I say for those that are in the DFW area, those in Dallas, Fort Worth, and Arlington, you know, McKinney, Frisco, all the surrounding areas over in, you know, all the surrounding areas. Y'all know, come out to the jazz, the dinner and jazz on Sunday, November the 24th, and it is at One Love Lounge on Cooper. And so it is on my Facebook page. It's on his Facebook page. Go to Denise Bryson on Facebook. You'll see an advertisement. You'll see it on Phil French. He's on Facebook. Look at it on there. And so we just want to highlight our singles and let them know how wonderful they are and all the wonderful things that they are doing. So this is what Single Talk is about. And we're going to talk about everything. I mean, some suckers. I got a book coming out called The Sex, The Lies, and The Soul Ties, Lord have mercy. But anyway, it's coming out. I got my little book cover done. The finishing touches on it. But anyway, we talk about everything on here. And this is a judgment-free zone, so we don't have no judgment. We're not judging nobody, honey. God is for us all, and he's a forgiving God. He's a loving God, and so that's what we're about here on Single Talk. Join us. Now, we're not coming, and we'll be back on here on the third Monday in December, and then we may pick up some more, you know, coming in the coming year, but right now we did today, and then we're going to do the third Sunday in November, and I think my guest in December is the comedian Steve Ward, and so you don't want to miss that as well. And we were on here with Phil French, and then we're going to have Denise Montgomery come back, because she was my first one, but she was way back in June. We're going to have her come back on, and I got some other singles. And so Indianapolis, Chicago, and wherever else you are, invite Phil French down to your church. And so his contact.
That's right.
Hold on, his contact information.
That's right.
Yeah, PhilFrenchBookings@gmail.com. Is that correct, Phil?
That's right, PhilFrenchBookings@gmail.com. That's PhilFrenchBookings@gmail.com. Phone number 214-229-3114. That's 214-229-3114. Also, once again, email PhilFrenchBookings@gmail.com.
And then also, PhilFrench.net is his website. And like I said, he's on iTunes and all those kind of things. And then come out and be with us at the dinner and jazz event on November 24th, One Love Lounge on Cooper Street in Arlington, Texas. So y'all come on out, you know, after church, and just come on over there, and we're gonna be hanging out and cutting up and enjoying Jesus. Hallelujah! How about that? Anyway, God bless each and every one of you. Our time is up. You have been on
Thank
Single
Talk.
Thank
you so much for having me, Denise.
Huh?
Thank you so much for letting me come on. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad you said yes. I'm so glad you said yes. Thanks for putting up with me and all my, you know, all the food that was going on at the beginning. But anyway, we made it through. And so I thank everybody that logged, those that logged in, those that called in, and those that will listen to this broadcast later, and those that are on Facebook Live, thank you, thank you, thank you. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. And the Lord will cover you with his blood this week, and that you will have an awesome week, and that you will have a good holiday season. Be blessed. Go in peace and walk peaceably with all men. Don't let nobody rattle you. Don't let nobody rattle you. Stay with Jesus. Stay with God.
And
Jesus, amen, amen, amen. God bless you all. We'll see you back here next month on Single Talk. All right. We are done. I'll call you back.